WGXC is a listener-supported community radio station, and it is also a new platform for presenting innovative experimental works on the air. Tune in, WGXC 90.7 FM, Agra, Hudson, Catskill, and points beyond. Listen to special programs of performance, words, sounds, and other rare and delicious items. Transmitting the arts all day every Saturday and weekdays after midnight. Here is there. Radio lives on in our minds.
You are listening to Human Machine, a program which airs each Saturday on WGXC 90.7 FM. Research in various fields examine the speculative next stage in human evolution, in which technological and human architectures will continue their deep convergence. Here we will present weekly works on the horizons of the human machine.
Hello friends, in the following 58 minutes, you will hear selected passages from Toward a Psycho-Civilized Society by David Gutt, as well as some selected passages from Jose Delgado's book, Toward a Psycho-Civilized Society. I have included an environment or soothing music that may enhance your receptivity to what you are hearing. Let us meet after the program and discuss some of these ideas. Okay, the background to the development of anti-personnel electromagnetic weapons can be traced back to the early middle 1940s and possibly earlier. The earliest extant reference, to my knowledge, was contained in the US Strategic Bombing Survey, which reviewed Japanese research and development efforts on a death ray. Whilst not reaching the stage of practical application, research was considered sufficiently promising to warrant the expenditure of 2 million yen during the years 1940 to 1945. Summarizing the Japanese efforts, Allied scientists concluded that a ray apparatus might be developed that could kill unshielded human beings at a distance of 5 to 10 miles. Studies demonstrated that, for example, automobile engines could be stopped by tuned waves as early as 1943. It is therefore reasonable to suppose that this technique has been available for a great many years. Research on living organisms such as mice and groundhogs revealed that waves from 2 meters to 60 centimeters in length caused hemorrhage of lungs, whereas waves shorter than 2 meters destroyed brain cells. However, experiments in behavior modification and mind manipulation have a much more grisly past. Nazi doctors at the Dachau concentration camp conducted involuntary experiments with hypnosis and narcohypnosis, using the drug mescaline on inmates. Additional research was conducted at Auschwitz, using a range of chemicals including various barbiturates and morphine derivatives. Many of these experiments proved fatal. Following the conclusion of the war, the U.S. Naval Technical Mission was tasked with obtaining pertinent industrial and scientific material that had been produced by the Third Reich and which may be of benefit to U.S. interests. Following a lengthy report, the Navy instigated Project Chatter in 1947. Many of the Nazi scientists and medical doctors who conducted hideous experiments were later recruited by the US Army and worked out of Germany prior to being secretly relocated to the United States under the Project Paperclip program. Under the leadership of Dr. Hubertus Strauld, 34 ex-Nazi scientists accepted paperclip contracts, authorized by the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and were put to work at Randolph Air Force Base, San Antonio, Texas. By 1953, the CIA, U.S. Navy and the U.S. Army Chemical Corps were conducting their own narco-hypnosis programs on unwilling victims that included prisoners, mental patients, foreigners, ethnic minorities and those classified as sexual deviants. It was not until the middle or late 1970s that the American public became aware of a series of secret programs that had been conducted over the preceding two decades by the military and intelligence community. Primarily focusing on narco-hypnosis, these extensive programs bore the project titles MK-Ultra, MK-Delta, MK-Naomi, MK-Surge. MK being understood to stand for Mind Control, Bluebird, Artichoke and Chatter. The principal aim of these and associated programs was the development of a reliable programmable assassin. Secondary aims were the development of a method of citizen control. Particularly relevant was Dr. Jose Delgado's work directed towards the creation of a psycho-civilized society by use of Estimosiva. Delgado's work was seminal, and his experiments on humans and animals demonstrated that electronic stimulation can excite extreme emotions including rage, lust and fatigue. In his paper, Intracerebral Radio Stimulation and Recording in Completely Free Patients, Delgado observed that radio stimulation on different points in the amygdala and hippocampus in the four patients produced a variety of effects, including pleasant sensations, elation, deep thoughtful concentration, odd feelings, super relaxation, an essential precursor for deep hypnosis, colored visions, and other responses. With regard to the colored vision citation, it is reasonable to conclude he was referring to hallucinations, an effect that a number of so-called victims allude to.
Hi, I'm Tom, and I'll be reading from Jose Delgado's book, Physical Control of the Mind, Toward a Psycho-Civilized Society. It is known that reflexes are predictable responses, rigidly patterned and blindly performed. Similarly, electrical excitation of a peripheral motor nerve induces a stereotyped movement with little adaptation to external circumstances. In contrast, willful activity generally has a purpose, and its performance is adapted for the attainment of a determined aim, with the continuous processing of proprioceptive and exteroceptive sensory information, with the use of feedback mechanisms, with capacity for instantaneous readjustment of the central command to adapt to changes in the environment, and with prediction of the future which requires spatio-temporal calculation of speed, direction, and strategies of moving targets. Depending on the location of cerebral stimulation, the responses obtained by ESP may either be similar to a blind reflex or have all the above-mentioned characteristics of voluntary activity. Stimulation of some points in the motor cortex and motor pathways in the cat, monkey, and other animals may produce simple movements, such as the flexion of a limb, which are completely stereotyped and lack adaptation. These effects may be interpreted as the activation of efferent structures where the pattern of response has already been decided. At this level, the neural functions are of conduction rather than of integration and organization, and only minor variations are possible in the circulating impulses, regardless of whether their origin was spontaneous or artificial. To the contrary, there is plenty of evidence that many of the effects evoked by ESP are oriented toward the accomplishment of a specific aim with adaptation of the motor performance to unexpected changes in environmental circumstances.
as far back as 1969. Delgado predicted the day would soon arrive when a computer would be able to establish two-way radio communication with the brain. An event that first occurred in 1974. Lawrence Binio, a neurophysiologist and electronic engineer working for Stanford Research Institute, a leading military contractor, developed a computer system capable of reading a person's mind. It correlated brainwaves on an electroencephalograph with specific commands. 20 years ago, the computer responded with a dot on a TV screen. Nowadays, it could be the input to a stimulator in advanced stages using radio frequencies. In any event, narcohypnosis was found, it is claimed, to be less than reliable. Although some writers and observers dispute this, additional studies conducted by Dr. Ewan Cameron and funded by the CIA were directed towards erasing memory and imposing new personalities on unwilling patients. Cameron discovered that electroshock treatment caused amnesia. He set about a program that he called depatterning, which had the effect of erasing the memory of selected patients. Further work revealed that subjects could be transformed into a virtual blank machine, tabula rasa, and then be programmed with a technique which he termed psychic driving. Such was the bitter public outrage once his work was revealed that Cameron was forced to retire in disgrace. Also of interest is Dr. John C. Lilly, who was asked by the director of the National Institute of Mental Health to brief the CIA, FBI, NSA and military intelligence services on his work using electrodes to stimulate, directly, the pleasure and pain centers of the brain. Lilly said that he refused the request. However, as stated in his book, he continued to do useful work for the national security apparatus. In terms of timing, this is interesting, for these events took place in 1953. Scientist Eldon Bird, who worked for the Naval Surface Weapons Office, was commissioned in 1981 to develop electromagnetic devices for purposes including riot control, clandestine operations and hostage removal. From 1965 through to 1970, the Defense Advanced Projects Research Agency set in motion Operation Pandora to study the health and psychological effects of low-intensity microwaves. This project appears to have been quite extensive and included, under US Navy funding, studies demonstrating how to induce heart seizures, create leaks in the blood-brain barrier and production of auditory hallucinations. Despite attempts to render the Pandora program invisible to scrutiny, filings revealed memoranda, which confirmed that the program's initial goal was to discover whether a carefully controlled microwave signal could control the mind. These studies were intended for potential weapons applications. Following immense public outcry, Congress forbade further research and demanded that these projects be terminated across the board, but as former CIA agent Victor Marchetti later revealed, the programs merely became more secretive with a high element of deniability built into them, and that CIA claims to the contrary are a cover story, despite the fact that many of the aforementioned projects revolved around the use of narcotics and hallucinogens. Projects Artichoke, Pandora and Chatter clearly demonstrate that psychoelectronics were a high priority. Indeed, Author John Mark's informant stated that beginning in 1963, mind control research strongly emphasized electronics. An obscure Washington, D.C. corporation called Mankind Research Unlimited, and its wholly owned subsidiary, Systems Consultants Inc., operated a number of classified intelligence, government and Pentagon contracts, specializing in, amongst other things, problem solving in the areas of intelligence electronic warfare, sensor technology and applications. MRU's capability and experience is divided into four fields. These include biophysics, biological effects of magnetic fields, research in magnetofluid dynamics, planetary electrohydrodynamics and geopathic efforts on living organisms. The latter focuses on the induction of illness by altering the magnetic nature of the geography. Also under research were biocybernetics, psychodynamic experiments in telepathy, errors in human perception, biologically generated fields, metapsychiatry and the ultra-conscious mind, believed to refer to experiments in telepathic mind control, behavioral neuropsychiatry, analysis and measurement of human subjective states and human unconscious behavioral patterns, employing some old OSS, CIA, and military intelligence officers. The company also engages the services of prominent physicians and psychologists. MRU lists in its company capabilities brain and mind control, despite vehement claims by MRU's chairman that it is not a front organization for any branch of the United States government. One must treat these claims with a great deal of skepticism. You are listening to excerpts from Toward a Psycho-Civilized Society by David Guyatt, as well as some selected passages from Jose Delgado's 1971 book, Toward a Psycho-Civilized Society. We now continue with this program, Human Machine. There followed an extensive hiatus in available information through the 1980s up to the present day. This initially appears to have closely paralleled Ronald Reagan's presidency and not surprisingly flowed onwards during President Bush's term of office. As a result, the once user-friendly Freedom of Information Act became less accessible and more bureaucratic. During 1989, CNN aired a program on electromagnetic weapons and showed a US government document that outlined a contingency plan to use EM weapons against terrorists. Prior to the show, a DoD medical engineer sourced a story claiming that, in the context of conditioning, microwaves and other modalities had regularly been used against Palestinians. In 1993, Defense News announced that the Russian government was discussing with American counterparts the transfer of technical information and equipment known as acoustic psycho-correction. The Russians claimed that this device involves a transmission of specific commands via static or white noise bands into the human subconscious without upsetting other intellectual functions. Experts said that demonstrations of this equipment have shown encouraging results after exposure of less than 1 minute, and has produced the ability to alter behavior on willing and unwilling subjects. The article goes on to explain that combined software and hardware associated with the psycho-correction program could be procured for as little as $80,000. The Russians went on to observe that world opinion is not ready for dealing appropriately with the problems coming from the possibility of direct access to the human mind.
Tom here. Again, I'll be reading from Jose Delgado's book, Physical Control of the Mind, Toward a Psycho-Civilized Society. The adaptability of artificially induced cerebral responses to changes in the environment has been clearly demonstrated by rhesus monkeys' aggressive behavior, which was selectively directed by the animals against their natural enemies within. The group with a motor pattern of chasing and fighting which continuously changed according to the unpredictable strategies of those under attack. In this case, ESB evidently did not evoke a predetermined motor effect but an emotional state of increased aggressiveness which was served by pre-established motor skills and directed according to the previous history of social relations. Similar experiments have been performed in roosters. If the bird was alone, motor restlessness was the only observable effect of ESB, while the same stimulation of a rooster in a group produced a state of increased aggressiveness and attacks on other birds. Sharp fighting ensued with perfectly coordinated, typical patterns of attack and defense in the group. We may conclude that ESB can activate and influence some of the cerebral mechanisms involved in willful behavior. In this way, we are able to investigate the neuronal functions related to the so-called will, and in the near future this experimental approach should permit clarification of such highly controversial subjects as freedom, individuality, and spontaneity in factual terms rather than in elusive semantic discussions. The possibility of influencing willful activities by electrical means has obvious ethical implications.
Acoustic psychocorrection dates back to the mid-1970s and can be used to suppress riots, control dissidents, demoralize or disable opposing forces and enhance the performance of friendly special operations teams. One U.S. concern in relation to this device was aired by Janet Morris of the Global Strategy Council, a Washington-based think tank established by former CIA Deputy Director Ray Klein. Morris noted that ground troops risk exposure to bone-conducting sound that cannot be offset by earplugs or other protective gear. In recent months, I met with and discussed Russian research efforts with a contact who had visited Russia earlier this year. He, in turn, met with a number of Russian scientists who are knowledgeable in this field. I have few doubts that the Defense News article cited earlier is fundamentally accurate. In his pioneering work, Dr. Rossady determined that emotional states and behavior can be remotely influenced merely by placing a subject in an electromagnetic field, by directing a carrier frequency to stimulate the brain and using amplitude modulation to shape the wave to mimic a desired EEG frequency. He was able to impose a theta rhythm on his subjects. Doctors Joseph Sharp and Alan Frey experimented with microwave seeking to transmit spoken words directly into the audio cortex via a pulsed microwave analog of the speaker's sound vibration. Indeed, Frey's work in this field, dating back to 1960, gave rise to the so-called Frey effect, which is now more commonly referred to as microwave hearing. Within the Pentagon, this ability is now known as artificial telepathy. AD and others have compiled an entire library of frequencies and pulsation rates which can affect the mind and nervous system. During the siege at the Mount Carmel Church near Waco, Texas, FBI agents discussed with Russian counterparts the use of acoustic psychocorrection on David Koresh and the Branch Davidians. It is understood that this contingency did not proceed. However, some unusually M weapons were deployed at Waco, B BBC World News and FBI film footage in the possession of this writer show both the Russian equipment being demonstrated, as well as a previously unseen noise generator, and an unusual low-frequency strobe ray. In use at Waco, have weapons of this nature been developed and field-tested? Judging from the number of individuals and groups coming forward with complaints of harassment, the answer appears to be yes. Kim Besley, of the Greenham Common Women's Peace Camp, has compiled a fairly extensive catalogue of effects that have resulted from low-frequency signals emanating from the US Greenham Common base, apparently targeted at the women protesters. These include vertigo, retinal bleeding, burnt face, nausea, sleep disturbances, palpitations, loss of concentration, loss of memory, disorientation, severe headaches, temporary paralysis, faulty speech coordination, irritability and a sense of panic in non-panic situations. Identical and similar effects have been reported elsewhere and appear to be fairly commonplace. Many of these symptoms have been associated in medical literature with exposure to microwaves and especially through low intensity or non-thermal exposures. These have been reviewed by Dr. Robert Becker, twice nominated for the Nobel Prize, and a specialist in EM effects. His report confirms that the symptoms mirror those he would expect to see. Had microwave weapons been deployed, the April 94 issue of Scientific American carried an article which briefly described some of the known arsenal of less than lethal weapons presently available. These include laser rifles and low-frequency infrasound generators powerful enough to trigger nausea or diarrhea. The Federation of American Scientists noted that non-lethal weapons have been linked to mind-control devices and that three of the most prominent advocates of non-lethality share an interest in psychic phenomena. Current projects include Sleeping Beauty, directed towards the battlefield use of mind-altering electromagnetic weapons. This project is headed by Jack Verona, a highly placed Defense Intelligence Agency officer. Dr. Michael Persinger of Laurentian University is also employed on the project. Other sources have revealed a project entitled Monarch, which, supposedly, is directed towards the deliberate creation of severe multiple personality disorder. It is now the opinion of many that these and related programs have been brought under the banner of non-lethal weapons, otherwise known as less than lethal, which are now promulgated in connection with a doctrine of low-intensity conflict, a concept for warfare in the 21st century. It is clear that many of these Pentagon and related non-lethal programs operate under high classification. Others consider many similar or related black programs are funded from the vast resources presently available under the US counter-drug law enforcement policy, which has a 1995 budget of over $13 billion. In July 94, Defense Secretary William J. Perry issued a memorandum on non-lethal weapons which outlined a tasking priority list for use of these technologies. Second on the list was crowd control. Coming in at a poor fifth was disable or destroy weapons or weapon development production processes, including suspected weapons of mass destruction. It is therefore clear that non-lethality is fundamentally seen as anti-personnel. In July 96, The Spotlight, a widely circulated right-wing US newspaper, reported that well-placed DoD sources have confirmed a classified Pentagon contract for the development of high-power electromagnetic generators that interfere with human brain waves. The article cited the Memorandum of Understanding dated 1994 between Attorney General Janet Reno and Defense Secretary William Perry for transfer of LTL weapons to the law enforcement sector. A budget of nearly $50 million has been made available for funding associated black programs. You are listening to excerpts from Toward a Psycho-Civilized Society by David Gutt, as well as some selected passages from Jose Delgado's 1971 book, Toward a Psycho-Civilized Society. We now continue with this program, Human Machine. Dr. Emory Horvath, a professor of physics at Harvard University, has stated, in connection to the generator that interferes with human brainwaves, that they are designed to invade the mind and short-circuit its synapses. In the hands of government technicians, it may be used to disorient entire crowds, or to manipulate individuals into self-destructive acts. It's a terrifying weapon. In a 93 U.S. Air Command and Staff College paper entitled Non-Lethal Technology and Air Power, authors Claren and Mitchell outlined selected NLT weapons. These included acoustic, pulsed attenuated high-intensity sound, infrasound, very low frequency, and polar sound, high volume, distracting, as well as high-power microwaves that possessed the ability to deter or incapacitate human beings. These and other classified weapons are being passed to domestic law enforcement agencies. As shown by the 95 Office of National Drug Control Policy International Technology Symposium, Counter-Drug Law Enforcement, Applied Technology for Improved Operational Effectiveness, which outlined the transition of advanced military technologies to the civil law enforcement environment. There are some observers who fear that the burgeoning narcotics industry is an ideal cover in which to shift non-lethal technologies to domestic political tasks. Whether this is merely a misplaced or Orwellian fear remains to be seen. However, organized crime is so globally organized that experts now believe it is impossible to eradicate or even effectively combat. The foregoing gives some necessary background to the origins and timing surrounding the development of anti-personnel electromagnetic weapons, and in particular demonstrates that the United States has an intense and long-established interest in mind control and behavior modification that spans five decades.
Hi, Tom here, again. I'll be reading from Jose Delgado's book, Physical Control of the Mind, Toward a Psycho-Civilized Society. Because the brain controls the whole body and all mental activities, ESP could possibly become a master control of human behavior by means of man-made plans and instruments. In previous sections, we have described methodology for brain stimulation and many effects evoked by ESP. This section will discuss the meaning of these results, the mechanisms involved, the expected limitations, and the problems facing investigators. How physiological or artificial is the electrical activation of neurons? How predictable? Who is responsible for acts performed under ESP, the stimulated subject or the scientist? Which benefits or risks may be expected in the future? Can we modulate perception and expression by electrical means? Can we expect that brain investigation will provide a new conception of the human mind? These and other questions confront the investigator while he is sending radio messages to induce a muscle to contract, a heart to beat faster, or a sensation to be felt. Evaluation of these experiments requires the formulation of appropriate theoretical concepts and the design of working hypotheses.
scene. Fragmentary information has surfaced for brief spells, only to disappear. Once more, from public scrutiny, it remains to be said that a great many advances in the realm of electromagnetic field technology and mind control techniques have apparently been made during the 60s, 70s and 80s. In particular, veterans of the Vietnam War are still coming forward with stories, which collectively, if true, point to leap in knowledge that largely remains hidden behind the thick curtain of security classification. Major Edward Dames, formerly with the Pentagon's Defense Intelligence Agency until 1992, was a long-serving member of the highly classified Operation Grill Flame, a program that focused on some of the more bizarre possibilities of intelligence gathering and remote interrogation. Known as remote viewers, Grill Flame personnel possessed a marked psychic ability that was put to use penetrating designated targets and gathering important intelligence on significant figures. The program operated with two teams, one working out of the top secret NSA facility at Fort George Meade, and the other at Sri. Results are said to have been exemplary. Following the Oliver North debacle, the Secretary of Defense officially terminated Grill Flame, fearing bad publicity if the program were to become known to the public. The leading members of the project immediately relocated to the privately owned and newly formed SciTech, and continue their work to this day, operating under government contract. In the course of his work, Dames was, and remains close to many of the leading figures and proponents anti-personnel electromagnetic weapons, especially those that operate in the neurological field. During an NBC program, Dames stated that the US government has an electronic device which could implant thoughts in people. He refused to comment further. The program was broadcast during April 95.
It's Tom again. I'll continue reading from Jose Delgado's book, Physical Control of the Mind, Toward a Psycho-Civilized Society. Electrical stimulation of the brain is in reality a rather crude technique based on the delivery of a monotonous train of pulses without modulation, without code, without specific meaning and without feedback to the pool of neurons which by chance is located within the artificial electrical field created by stimulation, temporal and spatial characteristics and the complexity of multisynaptic relays, delays, and convergent and divergent correlations are also absent. Intensity of several volts usually employed in ESP is hundreds of times higher than spontaneous neuronal potentials, which are measured in millivolts. It is reasonable, therefore, that doubts have been expressed about the normality of responses obtained by brain stimulation. It is difficult to compare normal behavior with electrically evoked effects, Considering the complications of operative trauma, artificiality of experimental conditions, and lack of specificity of ESP. Electrical stimulus, unlike physiological excitation, unselectively affects all elements of a similar threshold that lie within the radius of action of the electrodes, and in the majority of cases cortical stimulation has failed to elicit anything but fragments of skilled movements. Cobb considers the greatest oversimplification the belief among those not educated in physiology, that the electrical stimulation of a nerve or brain center closely resembles normal neuronal stimulation. Electrical stimulation, however, produces little that resembles the normal.
You are listening to excerpts from Toward a Psycho-Civilized Society by David Gutt, as well as some selected passages from Jose Delgado's 1971 book, Toward a Psycho-Civilized Society. We now continue with this program, Human Machine. This overview is merely a glimpse of programs that have been, and continue to be, blanketed under tight security classification. Where information was available through FOIA filings, a great deal of additional information, in fact the greatest bulk, was deliberately destroyed or otherwise lost. However, I consider that what is available is sufficient to draw the conclusion that ongoing research, development and deployment of EM weapon systems that impact on the biological functions of the body, or more importantly, interfere with the human mind, are cause for the greatest humanitarian concern. In an age where the threat of global warfare has diminished as a result of the easing of tension between East and West, it can be anticipated that some form of introspection will occur in the developed Western nations. Societies that have been generationally and economically honed for warfare do not, on the whole, assume for peace production with such vigor and ability. Unable to so readily project the shadow outwards onto another nation, the enemy without soon distills to become the enemy within. In the United States, for example, there is a rapidly developing trend of cooperation between the military and law enforcement agencies in LTL weaponry. While it is clear that this is driven to some extent by budgetary considerations, there remain legitimate concerns regarding the long-term effects on democracy. Rather than seeking to resolve the underlying causes of social tensions, it is feared that governments will instead resort to more durable measures to quell domestic dissent. Western industrial nations are especially prone to these developments for a variety of reasons. Less than lethal anti-personnel weapons are seen in some influential quarters as being the ideal remedy for future domestic disturbances of this magnitude. The danger with such possibilities is that Western democracy may begin to fail, or suffer such severe setbacks in its traditional democratic forms that it will become increasingly repressive and oligarchic, armed with innovative technological weapons that do not necessarily kill, but which render disenfranchised segments of society physically inactive, emotionally stupefied and incapable of meaningful thought is a goal of those who favor a psycho-civilized society.
Listening to the program Human Machine on WGXC. Listen on Saturday mornings to subsequent episodes where we continue our conversation on the nature of being in an age of human machine evolution.